thank you for listening to this sermon from Goodwill Church, located in New York's Hudson Valley. Goodwill Church is on a mission to be a hub of revival in the Northeast and beyond. For more information about our church, please visit goodwillchurch.org. Now, here's the sermon.
Have you ever found yourself in a situation where you were looking for an answer, but it seemed that an answer was not coming? And in wanting to seek an answer, the only answer that you come to the conclusion of is, I need to keep my mouth shut. I need to not say anything, because if I say something, the words that come out of my mouth will be misunderstood. Those words will be used in a way to discredit me, my family, or even my God. Now imagine that this thing that you need to say to somebody is fueled by the fire in your soul, because you are looking for an answer. You want somebody to hear your complaint. Could be at a job and you feel that you've been mistreated, right? And do I trust my supervisor with this information? Do I go to HR? Do I tell my colleague across the office of my struggle? But then, these are all the same people that are jealous of my work and effort. Who do I go to? It could be health, right? Where you are praying for an answer and you want God to heal and restore, and it's as if he's not answering your prayer. And if you say those words to someone who doubts God, then it's almost as if they use those words to diminish who God is. So why do you go to church on Sunday? Why do you pray if he doesn't answer? And there are many situations like that, where the best thing that you and I can do is just stay quiet. And sometimes that is the hardest thing to do, right? And especially when we don't want to be sounding like we're complaining or that we're being a nag. Right? But this is the place that David found himself. Right? He needed to get something out, and the only one that can hear what he needed to say was God, right? It wasn't anybody else, right? And there's so much we can learn through this psalm, as Greg alluded to. This is a psalm of lament, right? Most would say that this psalm was penned near the end of King David's life. They don't know what prompted it. It could be illness. It could be some distress that he was going through. But here's the thing. It's the same life pressures that you and I go through. Right. We're looking for an answer, and in seeking the answer, God is the only one that brings comfort. So let us give our attention to this psalm. Right, it starts off, right, to the choir master. Right, and we've heard it in the past as we're going through the psalms throughout this past year, that most would say that the choir master is God himself, the creator of music. But then it could also point to an individual who would lead the choir of God. And then there's this individual, Jethem, right, where he must have been the one leading this particular song. And then it's attributed to the one who penned it, a psalm of David. Right? And these words just capture so much of the human heart, the human struggle. And sometimes that struggle itself is with God itself. Right? And let me tell you, there's no better place than to find yourself wrestling with God. Right? My heart became hot within me. As a mute, the fire burned. Then, I think I went too far here. There we go. Right. I said, I will guard my ways that I may not sin with my tongue. I will guard my mouth with a muzzle so long as the wicked are in my presence. I was mute and silent. I held my peace to no avail, and my distress grew worse. You feel the tension right from the beginning, right? He was aware, because of his position and his relationship with God, that his words in the midst of distress could be taken out of context, right? So even though he is feeling this internal pressure, he has the fortitude to say, I am not going to speak, right? Already you and I are having a problem with this, because a lot of times when we have problems, we find ourselves just talking to anybody who would listen, right? And in today's society, it isn't even so much our tongue as much as our computer boards, our keyboards, and just hitting that send button, right? And all of a sudden it's like, what did I do? Right? But he says, I will guard my ways. I would guard my mouth as with a muzzle, right? Do you think you have a muzzle big enough to cover your mouth? Right. And here's the thing, right? It's so long as the wicked are in my presence, right? Because sometimes, right, people are always trying to get information from us, right? We walk next to them and they go, hey, are you okay? I see that you're being quiet, right? And they're trying to pull it out, right? And sometimes those people are not looking to help us, right? And here's what David says, that the wicked are always before him. Not everybody is looking for the same thing you are, right? And when I think of these words, I think of Jesus standing there before Pilate as Pilate is asking him questions. And what does he do? He chooses not to say a word. right? And in not saying anything, there's so much power in not saying a word, right? How many of you just want to be heard, right? No, I just need you to hear my point of view. It's like, shut up. Just be quiet. But here's the thing. David's choice of being silent is driven by something internal, right? And as you see here, right, there's something boiling inside of him, right? I held my peace to no avail. My distress grew even worse. I'm looking for an answer. I know that people are not going to be the ones to deliver the information that I need. My heart became hot within me as I mused. The fire burned. A lot of us have this burning fire inside of us. And here's the thing, right? That fire can lead us to making one of two decisions. It's either going to drive us to God, or it's going to drive us to our selfish desires, right? And David wants us to be aware of this. And David is saying, I, the king of Israel, late in life, am experiencing this, right? And then he says, then I spoke with my tongue, right? Words came out of my mouth. And you can see who he spoke to. Oh Lord, make me know my ends. And what is the measure of my days? Let me know how fleeting I am, right? You can hear the tension in what he's asking God, right? And he's asking him the brevity of life. Like, what's this all for, Lord? Why am I here? What's the purpose of all of this? Why am I experiencing what I'm experiencing? And here's the thing that David shows us, right? That the only one who has that answer is God. Don't go anywhere else for those kind of answers, right? God has that answer, right? And sometimes the answer that God gives us, we're not going to like. Lord, right? And remember, when we read that word, Lord is Yahweh, and you and I are supposed to immediately think of the God who keeps his covenant promises, right? So the one who made a promise, even though I'm going through this trial, is the only one I can turn to. And here's what David is saying, right? How much longer am I going to have to experience this pain and suffering? Make me know the ends and what is the measure of my day. Like you could feel the weight of it. But it's also a prayer. A prayer that you and I, if we are students of God's words, right? It's a prayer that we also find in the New Testament from Paul, and it's in Philippians chapter 4, right? Here's what he says, right in verse 6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Right. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. Right? So if we are able to bring our request to God, right, He will provide what we need. Right? Even though at times we don't like the life circumstance that we are in. Behold, you have made my days a few handbreadths, and my lifetime is as nothing before you. Surely all mankind stands as a mere breath, Selah. Right? And when we see that word behold in the Old Testament, we're supposed to see with our spiritual eyes, right? You have made my days a few handbreadths, right? And a handbreadth, if you look at your hand, right, it is the width of your palm, right? So what is that, 3 inches, 3.5 inches? David is contemplating, he's saying, my life is that long compared to eternity. Right? That's really what he is saying. Right? And you can see that even in the Old Testament, they did have an understanding of what eternity was. And my lifetime is nothing before you. Right? And here's the rub, right? It's, he's saying, I am a creature. I've been created by you. Like, I'm nothing. Like, what can my life do to add anything to a holy God, right? And then it is only God that we can go to for the answer we're looking for. It's only you that can provide what I need. Right? And sometimes we struggle with that. Surely all mankind stands as a mere breath, right? And that word for breath is the same word that we have in Ecclesiastes. So you can see probably where King David spoke to his son Solomon before he became king, because Solomon later on would say, vapor, vapor, it's all vapor. Right? It's the same word as breath here. Meaningless, nothing, right? But here's the thing, right? It's as much as we are nothing, we are something. Because we're created in the image of God, right? And as the created being, right, one of the things that you and I have to embrace is that we are made to have an eternal life, right? So we're either going to live in the presence of God or we're going to live not in the presence of God, but it's going to be an eternity. Right, we have to kind of wrap our minds around that, right? Eternity just doesn't stop when we die. It started already, right? And here's the thing. It's, Lord, why am I so important to you? Because the pressure that I am experiencing has to go through your hands. It's almost the same kind of story that we hear with Job, right? Like when Job is struggling and he wants to know the why, right? How many of you want to know why? Why is life the way it is? Why do I find myself where I am today? And then there's this little musical phrasing, Selah, where we're meant to pause and meditate and think about what was just said, right? this fire is burning inside of you. And where do you go with that? Do you go to the world or do you take it to God? And sometimes you take it to God and at that moment he's silent. Are you going to be content with God's silence? Because you know that in the midst of his silence, he's still good. But sometimes when we are going through our trials, we forget his goodness. We forget it. So we stop and we pause and we think and we meditate. Surely a man goes about as a shadow. Surely for nothing they are in turmoil. Man heaps up wealth and does not know who will gather. Right? It's that picture of gathering wealth, thinking that you can prepare for a future, right? And also an event can happen and all of your wealth could be taken away. That word shadow in some of the other translations that I read, right? It conveys as a phantom, right? And here's the thing about a phantom or a shadow. Shadows are real because they're cast by something, but you can never get a grasp of them. Right? Surely for nothing, they are in turmoil. Man heaps up his wealth and does not know who will gather, right? Who's going to get all your stuff in the end? Right? And verse 7 is really where this psalm starts to turn around, right? Some would say that this is the pinnacle of the psalm. And now, O Lord, what do I wait? My hope is in you, right? He is the one we hope for. He is the one we wait on. He is the one that we take all of our turmoil, this burning fire that's in your soul, you bring it to God and Lord, I don't understand. Right? But you do. And I'm going to trust you. And then you're the one with an answer. And then right now I wait for that answer. And sometimes the waiting's hard because for some of us, the answer might not come in this lifetime. Does that mean that God's a mean God? No. It just means that God has a plan that he hasn't unfolded that part of it to you. Right? And the last time I checked, God did not come to me and said, Jose, what do you think? He didn't do any of that. Right? My hope is in you, my God, my Yahweh, the one who keeps his covenant promises, right? And for me, I need to remember, well, what are those promises? Right? Because sometimes I think that my wants supersede what God wants for me. My hope is in you and you alone. Right? So now, as David is hoping in God, right, he comes to this place of saying, deliver me. Right? This pain and suffering that I'm going through, deliver me from all my transgressions. Do not make me a scorn of the fools. I am mute. I do not open my mouth. In other words, I'm not going to complain, right? It's how many of us complain over the situations we find ourselves in, right? I do not open my mouth, for it is you who has done it. And here's how you have to understand it. It is you who has allowed it. Any evil that you and I might experience is not from God. But sometimes he allows certain things to happen in order to purge the sin from our lives. Let me ask you, how many of us pray, right? Lord, may I be drawn closer to you, right? And sometimes in that prayer, you don't know what you're praying for, right? Because you're praying, right, for this nearness with God. But in order for God to answer that prayer, and if he was to draw me near to God, he would have to purge the sinful life that's in me. And sometimes that's painful, right? It's the process of sanctification is not an easy one all the time. Just because we're believers in Jesus Christ and we are being sanctified doesn't mean that our sin problem is done. Deliver me from all my transgressions. Right? Do not make me a scorn of the fools. I was mute. And in spite of all that, I do not open my mouth. For it is you who has done it. David has come to a place to know that in God's goodness, that what he is going through is for David's good, even though it's a difficult place to be at. Remove your stroke from me. I am spent by hostility of your hand. When you discipline a man with a rebuke for sin, you consume like a moth what is dear to him. Surely all mankind is a mere breath, Selah. Right? It's like we've heard and seen that illustration, right? Like a moth to a flame. Right? It just consumes them. Right? And here's what David is saying. Lord, remove this pressure that I am experiencing. And sometimes the pressure feels like hostility, right? Almost as if you think God is mad at you, right? Lord, I know you have to discipline me, but do it gentle. Lord, I'm being consumed like a moth. Surely all mankind is a mere breath, right? Is a mere vapor. Like he is coming to terms with, right? It's like, I'm nothing. But even though I'm nothing, your eyes are on me, Lord. And again, we have that musical direction of Selah, where we're supposed to step back and think and contemplate what David has said through the power of the Holy Spirit. Like, what is God trying to convey to you and to me right now? And then we end with a prayer. Hear my prayer, O Lord, and give ear to my cry. Hold not your peace at my tears, for I am a sojourner with you, a guest like all my fathers. Look away from me that I may smile again before I depart, and I am no more. Right? That's his prayer. Right? The prayer of saying, Lord, hear me. Hear me and be attentive to my cry. Right? And here's David's insights, right? He says, I'm not meant to be here on earth, but I'm just traveling through. I'm a sojourner, I'm an alien. He knows that his final destination is in heaven. Do you know that's where your final destination is in heaven? Right? Sometimes we make a big deal out of the things we have here on earth, and we forget, right, that all of it is but a handbreadth. We're here for a while. And David is identifying with his forefathers, right? Abraham, right? That when God called Abraham into a new land, that Abraham was also a sojourner. You know that when you study the life of Abraham, Abraham did not own any land, even though God gave him all the lands. And if you read scripture, the only land that he ended up owning was the land that he bought for Sarah when she died. Right? So from Abraham's point of view, he was just passing through. Right? And that's what David is saying. I'm just like my fathers. Right? And then he ends with, look away from me. Right? You can hear the heart of David, right? He's saying, relent from this pressure that I am experiencing so that I might be able to smile on this side of the cross at least one more time before I depart. He's not fighting about leaving. He's embracing that. He says, I'm going to leave. Right? But I just want to be able to smile just one more time. Right? And that's the tension in this psalm. That this fire that is burning within David's soul is leading him to God, to the very one who can provide what he needs. But he also knows that God can also choose not to provide it. And he's okay with that. Right? Because nobody else can provide what David needs. Right? So what do we do with this fire that is burning within each and every one of us? Right? So don't jump ahead of the flame. David held, and with God's help, he harnessed it, and he grew closer to God. Right? We can learn that from David. And if you find yourself right now in the middle of your struggle, then you are in the middle of your struggle. Stay the course. Let the fire burn. Right? Don't try to quench it. And wait for the Lord. Never settle for anything less than God's peace. Don't go to anyone else when God is looking for you to go to Him. Know that sometimes the thing that you think sparks your upset in your life is not what matters. Your problem is usually not your problem. Your enemy is usually not your enemy. Sometimes you're your worst enemy and problem. Right? Sometimes we're the ones that make the issue bigger. God alone can give you what you need to overcome. Right, and lastly, right, wherever you find yourself in life, follow what Psalm 39 lays out as a map. to help you navigate those long and dark nights of your soul. Don't go to anyone else. Don't run away from God, but run towards Him. Right? We need to not fear His fire. Right? Because in the end, here's what we have. The fire that is burning within us can drive us to the foot of the cross, or the fire that's burning within us can drive us to hell. Those are our options. Right? And sometimes, again, the best decision that you and I can make is just be quiet. Stay silent. Go to God, because He is the only one that has the answer you and I need. Jesus is the only one who has the answer you and I need. Right? Think about it, right? It's Jesus, the Son of God, standing before Pilate at a moment within that trial, He chose to say nothing. Right? And what does Pilate say to Him, right? Don't you know that I have the power to give you life or death? Right? And then Jesus would say, right, and I'm paraphrasing, the only power you have is the power that's been given to you by my Father, right? That's power, right? That's power, right? So wherever you find yourself, in whatever struggle, right, my prayer is that you would use Psalm 39 as a psalm to encourage you, to know that you're not alone, that when you're going through your trials, God actually has His eyes on you. Right? And God is the one that can provide what you need. Here's the thing, right? Sometimes the things I think I need are not the things God thinks I need. Right? Sometimes I am just blinded by my own pain and suffering, that it's hard to see what God wants for me. Right? And in the end, my prayer is that this fire would lead you to God alone. Let us pray. Lord, we do thank You. Thank You for the life of David. Thank You that in the end, You are the one who hear our hearts. You are the one who's available when we're going through a season of struggle. And Lord, help us to remember that You, as our God, You want our very best. Because when we stop and look, You gave Your very best in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So Lord, we just thank You. We thank You, and as we come to the close of our time together, we do say Salah, and we contemplate and think about what was said. May we be drawn closer to You by the fire that is burning within each and every one of us. We thank You. We pray all of this in Jesus' name, and all of God's children said, Amen.
Thank you again for listening to today's sermon. For more resources and information about Goodwill Church, visit goodwillchurch.org. God bless.